This song is not in the overhead. It just kind of happened last night as we were having fun here practicing and playing. And we sang this Not Where I Belong song. And I don't know, Patricia, I think you just said home.
Home.
And then this happened.
Home, where there is no night. Home, where the sun is light. A place I've been dreaming of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, and his sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I am going home.
Hallelujah.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart's on home. Though I never really had one to call my been given a key by the carpenter of Galilee. With interest paid, the title's made to me.
Hallelujah.
Home, where there is no night. Home, where the sun is alight. There to welcome me, oh, but his sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I am going home. Everybody dreams of going home, it seems lately. I am no exception to the rule. Oh, but home is so much more than windows, walls, and doors. A warm embrace where a smiling face is waiting there. Home. But his sweet face will be the first I see. When my journey's over, I am going home.
When my journey's over.
Oh, when my journey's over, I am going home.
When my journey.
Oh, when my journey's over.
Thank you, Lord. I pray that that's the prayer of this church. And I think of the words that it would go from nation to nation. But it's got to start somewhere. It's got to spread. There needs to be a source. And I think that I've had a heart and a passion for Harmony Church to be a place where neighborhoods are impacted, communities are impacted, townships. That we have that in us because the Spirit of God is in us. So, Father, I thank you so much for this, really this word, this encouragement to us as a church. Father, that we would be inspired to go to our neighbors, to go into our communities and share the hope, to share the life, to share you, Jesus, with those around us who are desperate for you. So, Father, empower us, inspire us, encourage us. And God, I thank you for being with us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
I stand
in awe of you.
This morning. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we actually have a bit of a guest speaker. You may be familiar with his look. So a person that you may have heard of before, his name is Haddon Spurgeon, and he was a preacher that was known as the Prince of Preachers. He had a pretty tremendous impact on his time and continues to have an impact today. He had preached to approximately over 1 million people in his day. He was, he had started 2 orphanages. The list is so extensive. Literally, if you try to go and just read about this person, there's so much information that it's just overwhelming. So I'm not going to bore you with the details, but just know that this man had a tremendous impact. He loved the Lord. He was passionate about his church, and I'm excited that we're going to get to hear one of his messages many years ago that he spoke through the messenger. So welcome Haddon Spurgeon this morning. Charles.
God bless you today. Let's just keep you up here for a few more minutes as they... show my text of scripture on their newfangled ability. It's magical and wonderful. I have a school for preachers in London, and let me just see here. Oh, yes, good diaphragm. One of the requirements that I have for all those that enter into my school of ministry is a certain inch of diaphragm, and I think you qualify, son. Inhale. Oh, yes, definitely. All right, yes. Now, I do have one suggestion. Do you smoke? I suggest that you start smoking because I have found that a good pipe tobacco helps to lower the voice a couple of decibels and gets rid of that prepubescent sound and just makes it a stronger and more vibrant voice, because we have to preach to 5,000 or 6,000 people without any amplification, except the structure, the amphitheater that we're in. And so that is, my doctor actually recommended that I start smoking. And you may be seated. I have found that a good pipe tobacco is a relaxing thing. I have struggled actually with some melancholy over the years, and my doctor, apparently tobacco has never hurt anybody, and so he suggested that I start smoking a pipe to relax myself and to gain some strength of nerve. I have actually stopped smoking recently because I was downtown London, England, where I'm from and where I have I pastor the largest church there in town. And I saw a billboard that said, "Smoke the brand that C.H. Spurgeon smokes." So I said, "That's enough of that. I don't want to be known as the one that contributes to commercialization." And so I have ceased smoking just recently, but I miss it. So that's one of my recommendations. I'm a little weary today. I came over, of course, on the ship, the port of Montreal. And anyways, there was a family there. This is, of course, 1862. And there was a family from Ireland that was there, a man, Moses North. And he had 12 children running around the deck. And he was on his way to Lanark. And so, God help him. I wonder if he's a relative of some of your pastor who's not here today. But he may well have been. I don't know. But unfortunately, he was a Methodist and not a Baptist. And he was a preacher, in fact. Moses North, and you know, these Methodists, you never know when they're going to shout glory. So, not just any Methodist, he was a Wesleyan Methodist. And anyways, we got into some debates, but anyways, I'm glad to be here. I've never been here in Upper Canada before. I've had many invitations to New York, to pulpits there, and I have not yet taken up any of the invitations to go to New York City as of yet. I may plan to go. My main problem with America is there are so many Americans, but at this particular time, we can't go because, of course, they've just started their civil war, and so I am not able to go down there, so sufficient to be here in Upper Canada with you today. I want to draw your attention to the Word of God today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1-5. I'm wondering if your beloved assistant pastor would come and read that text of Scripture. And also Philippians chapter 3, 17-21. And then I'm using my colonial voice today. You notice, no British accent. I'm trying to blend as best I can. And so let's read the Word of God. And as tradition is in our church, if you would stand with us for the reading of the Holy Word of God Almighty.
2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Philippians. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. And learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control.
For remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord God, that You have given us this day and this opportunity to proclaim Thy Word and to hear Thy voice. Lord, we ask, O God, that You would help us to be attentive to the precepts of Thy Word, O God, today. May, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, You illuminate us to give us understanding of all things that the Spirit of God would empower us to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I'd like to say to you this morning, by the way, I have quite edited my sermon down this morning. Normally I preach for over an hour, so I've had to edit it down for you colonials to be able to endure it. So the first thing that I have to say this morning is that there can be no comparison between the flying glorious seraph and the creeping crawling worm upon the ground. Christians ought to live their lives in such a way that it would be foolish to even make such comparisons between the Christian and the worldly man. It is not a comparison, but rather it should always be a contrast. We should stand out as light and darkness. No scale of degrees should be able to compare the two. The believer should be a direct and obvious contradiction of the world and of the unsaved. The life of the Christian should be altogether and always above and not the same category at all as those who have not been born again by the Spirit of the living God. We should compel all of our critics today, in whatever means of communication they would come to us, that humanitarians are good and they are as similar to a Christian, if not better than in some cases. Perish the thought. We should obviously be light in the midst of darkness. And while the world is under the influence of the wicked one, let us stand out 100 miles high as those that are against the wicked one in putting him to flight at every corner. Wide as the frosty poles themselves from north and south are death and life. These are the comparisons of the Christian and those that do not believe in His name. There should be no more difficulty in defining the Christian and in comparison with him as we would a lamb and a wolf, as we would in any ways compare any two things like sheep and goats and any manner of things, even a sow belly in the ground from a soaring eagle in the sky. These are the comparisons between the believer and those who are not. But alas, my friends, the church has become so adulterated in these last days that we have to abandon our own glorying. We cannot exalt her character as we would like and as we should. The precious children of Zion that she is, the apple of God's eye that she be, comparable to fine gold and precious jewels, that is what the church is to be. Oh, for the time when we will act again like our citizenship is in heaven and not upon the earth. And the ignoble life of man whose God is his belly and whose end is destruction shall be rebuked by our outward cleanliness and by our inward unselfish character. There should be as much difference between the worldling and the Christian as between heaven and hell, between destruction and eternal life. Oh, God, grant us more and more to be most clearly a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that we may show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His most marvelous light. Brethren, today, let me exalt you. Let me urge you. Let me exhort you unto holiness. But not by the precepts of the law. Not by the thunderings that come from Mount Sinai. Not by the perils or punishments which might befall one who is living a life of disobedience. Gracious souls, should only be urged by arguments of grace. Whips are for fools, the backs of fools, and the backs of those who are disobedient, those that are not heirs of the kingdom of our God. But the honorable citizens which He has, the honorable citizenship which He has bestowed upon each one of us should be enough grace for us to live according to His precepts. I beseech you as citizens of heaven, I shall urge you in this message, that most prevailing argument, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Oh, and I pray He comes soon. And doing service for Him, so that when He comes, He may well say unto each and every one of us, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." It is our encouragement to you today to remind you that, yes, while we are yet foreigners in this land, that we are still citizens of a divine land of heaven. Now I ask you, and you maybe ask of me this morning, what is meant by this phrase, "I say citizens of heaven"? Well, first of all, we are under heaven's government. Christ, the King of heaven, reigns in our hearts. The laws of glory are the laws of our conscience. Our daily prayer is this: "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The proclamations that are issued before the throne of Almighty God, we cheerfully receive into our hearts this and every other day. The Spirit of God rules in our mortal bodies, and grace reigns through righteousness. And we gladly bear the yoke of Christ, do we not? Oh, that Christ would sit in royal ascension upon the throne of our hearts, just as good King Solomon sat upon a throne of gold in Jerusalem. Oh, yours we are, Lord Jesus. You can move on to the next. Rule in our hearts, O Lord Jesus. Rule without any rivals at all. Yes, we are under God's government. I know there is a government that is down yonder street that ends at Parliament upon the river. But God's government is what rules in our hearts today, because we are but citizens. And I would rather not say but rather that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Secondly, as citizens of this new Jerusalem, this bride, we share heaven's honors. It is not enough that we are under the rule of Christ as citizens of heaven, expecting Him to come and rule and reign in us, but we are also privileged. Oh, what glory, what privilege belongs to those better than the beatified saints. For we are already sons and daughters of God. We are already princes and princesses of imperial blood. Already today we wear the spotless robe of Christ's righteousness. Today. Already we have angels for our servants, who beckon our call and heed our prayers. Angels. Saints are our companions and our friends. Those that sup with us at divine fellowship are also heirs of the kingdom. Oh, what great honors. Today, friends, this day we share the honors of heavenly citizenship. For we have come to the general assembly this morning of the church of the firstborn, whose all names are written in the Lamb's book of life, if it would so be. And if it is true, say amen. Amen. Christian, you must never covet this world's praise, neither its esteem. For the love of this world is not in keeping with the love of God, not one whit. Remember, the Word says, if any man loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Treat its smiles like you would treat its threats. with quiet contempt. Be rather willing to be sneered at with the love of God in your hearts than to be approved by men, counting the cross of Christ great benefit over great riches, even the great riches of Egypt. Oh, prostitute world! It would be a sad dishonor to be your favorite. Tire your head and paint your face, you Jezebel world, but you are no friend to us. We do not desire your hollow love and your perfumed bed. We are aware that that way leads to hell. Thirdly, as citizens, we have common rights. Oh, the glorious thought that we are under a government that reigns and rules now in our hearts and someday in its fullness upon this earth. Also to be honored above all citizens of every nation is such a great privilege. But yea, there be more. There be more than this. We have property rights in glory. Some of you today in this vast assembly, I realize, are but paupers and have but rental flats upon the side of east of London. But some of you here today have great holdings in this natural world. But as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, you all are property owners, a vast estate upon a great, a glorious kingdom. Those wide expanse of plains that we sang about earlier on in our service today are ours, and nobody else owns claim to them except those that are the children of the King. Those things we sang about earlier in our service, those harps and golden crowns of glory, all are ours. The gates of pearl, they are ours. The walls of jasper are but ours. The azure lights of that city that needs no candle nor light of man, for the Son of God is its light, that is ours as well. Even the crystal river that flows out of the throne of God is ours to inspire us on our journey, to be cooled by its shores and to dip our feet into it. Is such a privilege, for it belongs us, not to this world, and they cannot hold any claim upon it except those who the blood has been shed for. Oh. The trees that grow along its river, the fruits, the 12, representing the healing of the nations, they are planted on its side for us and none alone. There is nothing in heaven that does not belong to us, for our citizenship is there. Things present or things to come, they are all ours, and we are Christ, and Christ is God. I want you today to get a hold of your inheritance. I want you to cling with both hands to the covenant that you have come to into. Hang on to this covenant. To you the blessings belong and to no one else. And just as we are under heaven's government, and we share its honors, and we the possessions lie. So today, friends, I want to remind you that we are to possess all of its joys. I heard this morning your minstrels singing about heaven's joys. Oh, joy indeed. So today, the thought of glory is all filling in our delight. Does not heaven rejoice when a sinner is converted or a prodigal returns unto the Father's arms? So do we. Do they not triumph in the glories of grace? So do we. We do the same. Do they not cast their crowns at Jesus' feet? Such honors we have, and we too do. We are one in obedience. We are one in spirit with those saints that have gone before us. Do they not triumph, looking forward to the second advent of the Lord? So do we. Do they not wait for the trumpet call? So do we. We are the very same. Are they not now at this very moment shouting glory and singing, "Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb that was slain"? So we ought also to sing. perhaps not with such glorious note as theirs, but with just as sincere a heart. Perhaps their melody not quite so splendid as those whose heart has been cleaned, heart has been sanctified fully, and whose vocal cords are touched with the graces of glory. Not quite as splendid, no, but our hope should be just as sincere. For the Spirit has given us the music. The Spirit has given us the music that comes from the throne of God, and now we echo those seraph songs. The Spirit gave them in great thunders, and their acclamation before the throne and the reverberations of the throne room have come down nigh unto us today, and we have picked them up, and we have run with them in our singing and our rejoicing. We are the same. Our citizenship, my friend, is in heaven. Brethren, just as a foreign people, and I wish that there were many foreigners amongst us today that you might bear witness and understand what I am saying about you that are here from other countries who have longing to be back in your fair shores. But just as people in a foreign land who love their country dearly always are glad to have plenty of letters from that fair country, I hope that we would keep in much communication with our land of our citizenship, the old fatherland of glory. We send our prayers in abundance, at least we should, there as letters unto the Heavenly Father. Oh, and the communication goes both ways, for He Himself has sent many letters back in this blessed volume of the Word of God. This Bible, this book, is indeed itself the newspaper of heaven. Should you not pick it up daily and devour it to find out what is being said before the mighty throne of God? Should you not peruse its pages early to find out what edicts from glory are being resounded today amongst us? Oh. And the sermons that are preached from many a pulpit today, they are good news from a far land. That is how we should treat them. The songs that we sing in the sacred assembly, these are the songs by which we tell our Father of our welfare that is here, and how we do show our affection unto Him through them. Whereby He whispers so gently and so sweetly directly into our souls of His continued abiding love for each and every one of us. This takes place in the time of worship. I hope too, friends, that we are also sending much ahead, even of the commerce of glory. And I see this morning that some of you have invested in the heavenly kingdom upon this altar, as it would indicate. I do not find many souls, friends, as I begin to talk about the second coming. I do not find, friends, that many souls, in my experience, have been converted unto the Lord by exquisite dissertations about the Battle of Armageddon. And all those other many, many fine teachings about the last days. Oh, I have no doubt that by studying end time prophecy has become very profitable. But I rather question whether it is profitable for the hearers. I'm afraid it has become great profit to those who are preachers and the publishers of their many books. This is 1862. I can see, friends, that amongst religious people there is a certain kind of tantalizing expectation of prophecy issued by certain ministers who gratify a craving which non-religious people find in an entertainment of the reading of novels and of sports. People have a longing to know the future, and certain diviners pander to this depraved taste by prophesying for them and letting them know what is about to come. but with no better accuracy than a gypsy fortune teller at the county fair. Friends, I must admit today before you all, I do not know the future. I shall not pretend to know it. I do not preach this because I do not know it, but I do know this, that Christ will come. For He has said so Himself in hundreds of passages crammed into this glorious book. Not only Him, but Paul also has proclaimed it completely in his epistles. Peter too, and John, the beloved disciple, has crammed many of those ideas. It is stuffed with the advent of Christ. I could not stand here as a preacher and disobey that I could not believe that the Lord is coming and coming soon. Oh, that I believe and that I am sure of. In fact, I may say this morning, friends, I may say this morning to you well, and I say it as honesty would fill my heart, that He may come today. This morning He may appear while we but sit here, just when we think that He will not come. For sure, friends, the breaking of the thief into the house happens. That is what takes place, friends. In an hour that you think not, that is when the Son of Man shall appear. So we should be waiting. We should be watching. We should be praying. I think the church would do well to always be ready for the coming of the Lord as though it were at any instant. I fear that the church that feels that He will not come for another decade is in a poor position. If she works like such, He may find her wanting. Let her, the church, always be living as though the Lord would come at any moment. Friends, in these days we have heard so many preachers. 1862 is a modern time. But I must say to you, friends, despite the prolification of prophecies and end time advent, never mind about the details of beasts and bowls and antichrists and vials. Go get your vial and fill your vial with the sweet aroma of praise and intercession and lift your vial up to the throne now and today. I don't care what you think about Armageddon, but do not forget to fight the fight today. It is a great fight of faith that goes on now in our times. Do not weary in guessing the precise era for the unveiling of the Antichrist. Go out now and destroy the spirit of Antichrist which is now amongst us. Do not speculate upon the rise of the false prophet. When every hill and nook and cranny has a false prophet in it today. Oh, and not just the harlot seven hills of Rome, but the hills of Lancaster, the hills of Wales, and the highlands of Scotland. We have our own false prophets, probably in your own Ottawa Valley. Oh, yes, today. And they're even down yonder street in the halls of Parliament. Will you be found in His field, working in the harvest when He comes? Looking forward and actually in your work and in your intercession, actually being involved in not speculation, but actually hastening the coming of the Lord Himself. Let this be your comfort and your incentive for due diligence, that the Savior will soon come from heaven. I have heard of one saint that is in our midst, no longer in our midst, but gone, who used to open his window every day in anticipation of the coming kingdom of our Christ. You, some of you here today, knowing of such a man, you think him to be but a fanatic and filled with fanaticism. But friends, I would rather be enthusiastic than to mind the earthly things. I would have us all look out each night and light the fires of prayer and intercession that it may be burning in case the ship of heaven should go up, and by doing so rescue us poor stranded mariners on the island of this world. Let us wait patiently until the Lord's great convoy shall take us on board so that we may be carried up unto glories and splendor in the reign of Christ. Let us always be holding on to this old log hut with open hand and not clenched fist, longing for the time when we shall be reunited with our true possessions that are on the other side of glory, where our Father lies, where the Son is open to His embrace, where our treasure lieth, and where many of our dear brethren now dwell waiting for us. My beloved friends, I can assure you, it is always one of the sweetest thoughts that I have ever known, yea, that have ever entered into my own being, that I shall meet all of you in the heavenly realm, in the kingdom of our Christ. There are so many members in this church that I'm able to shake even your hand once but a year. I will have time for plenty of fellowship in the fullness of the kingdom. Oh, I long for sweet fellowship. My schedule is so busy. I am so hurried from here and there that I am not able at times to sit down and enter into the depths of fellowship. How I long for the kingdom to come when I and you and I will sit down and we will fellowship. Oh, and at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will embrace us with truth, who will caress us with His love. Although we receive it now, we shall receive it then, us together in such a glorious kingdom. Even this week in this great and vast tabernacle that I preach in this morning, we have lost precious saints who have passed through the veil of life, and I regret that I was not able to be there in their dying moments to hold their hand and speak words of compassion and encouragement unto them before they slipped away. I was not able to give words of consolation. But over there, we shall walk together in the light of the Son of God with eternity before us. I say this to you this morning. You shall know your pastor. In heaven, you shall know him, and you will know him far better than you know him now. He loves you, and you love Him. Oh, may He be a slimmer and fitter version of what you now gaze your eyes upon. But you will know Him nonetheless. We shall have then more time to recount of the experiences of divine grace, and we shall praise God together, and we shall sing together, and we shall rejoice together concerning Him by whom we are helped to plant and to water, and He who gave the increase, always we shall glory in His name. But I am afraid. Yea, I am terrified. We shall not all meet in glory. No, not all. Not unless some of you repent and turn to Christ with great contrition of your heart. It is my fear to say this morning that some of you in this vast audience will indeed perish unless you turn to Christ. But why must we be divided? Why must this wall of partition divide betwixt the two of us? Why must this happen? Oh, friends, why? Because the word of the Lord has declared it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be damned. Oh, friends, that is why the great petition lies.
My urge to you today is that you would join us in this happy venture, that you would receive the government of our God, that you would receive the honor that is due a child of God, that you would revel in the honor that comes from Him, and that you would rejoice in the possessions that God has for you. Friends, there need not be this division if you would but repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we live in such an age of great luxury and great sin and gross departures from the truth. Lord, we implore Thee, defend Thy own. Bless Your people. Bless them, Lord, and saturate them with the Word of Thy truth. Oh, dear Savior, what could we do without You? We are as yet in banishment. We have not come into that great land of light and glory as of yet. It is on the other side of that river, in the land where Your fullness dwells, the land of Emmanuel. Until we come there, may You be with us here. God grant that we may live to see better days. Days of refreshing straight from Thy presence. But Lord, if perilous times should come in these last days, then Lord, make us one thing. Make us faithful. Lord, our prayer this morning is that You would shake the earth with Your power. Oh, that the nations may hear the word of the Lord and live. But Lord, first convert the church. And then You will convert the world. Lord, deal with those who depart from the faith and grieve Your Holy Spirit. Bring them back again unto their first love this morning. Father, be pleased to visit this assembly with Your Holy Spirit. Renew the day of Pentecost in our midst as our prayer this morning. God, give us Pentecost. Yes, many Pentecosts, all condensed into one. In the midst of all gatherings of Your people, may there come a manifestation of holy fire, the upraising of the heavenly wind. Pour out Your Spirit upon Your waiting church. Oh God, flood the land until there are streams of righteousness flowing on every street and in every hamlet of our great nation. Lord, set Your people free. Free to pray and stir up the church unto a great harvest of prayerfulness. Oh, Savior. Savior, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done. May You hear creation groans for You. It groans and it utters up the words, "Oh, Lord, come quickly." You are the joy of the earth. O great Deliverer, You are still the expected of all the tribes of Israel. Come, we pray, fairest of 10,000. Come a second time unto the earth, to the sons of men. Come to Your bride, the waiting church. This is the great cry of our souls. Even so, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.